Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. So, it's only a week till Christmas.
It is. Scary, isn't it?
It is scary. And if you're anything like me, you probably haven't done all your Christmas shopping yet.
I haven't done any.
Have you not?
Well, I lie. I had to buy my wife something.
Okay.
Well, only to guarantee I stay married for another 12 months.
Well, this is it. You've got to get your priorities right, I suppose. But it did get me thinking about gifts. Giving Land Rover-themed gifts and also receiving them.
That's easy. You just leave the pages of LRM open, right? And your other half,
like
a family member, will see what you want.
Like when you were a kid and you had the Argos catalogue and you'd like fold pages over and stuff.
Yeah.
That probably makes sense. Yeah, I mean, some of the best presents I've ever got for Christmas or birthday, to be fair, have been Land Rover related. And I'm sure for many of the people listening, they're in the same boat. But for as many good Land Rover gifts, there are also some quite naff ones, aren't there?
Yeah, I've had a couple of naff ones. You got me one, didn't you? Well, no, that's hard.
Oh, that's a great present.
No, who doesn't want socks?
Well... and you got them early as well. Land Rover socks.
Land Rover on socks. Brilliant.
I actually went back to that shop and bought a load more so I can like dish them out to other people.
I won't lie. Last weekend I went back and bought the last pair.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't sniff at that value. But they were actually, from a shop local to us. They just happened to be there. So I thought, I know, I'm going to have a few pairs of them and we'll ideal little Christmas presents.
Yeah, they are. For me, for myself.
But,
yeah.
Well, yeah, quite. I mean, I have kept a fair as well. But gifts-wise, some of the best gifts I've got certainly have actually been bits for my Land Rover. Like, if people don't know what to get me, I've said, well, I need these or I need this. And then I've basically told them what I need and they've got them. And it's one less thing that you have to pay for, obviously. But if you're keeping your Land Rover long-term, it's ideal. Because
it
all helps the big picture. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to continue to use that vehicle year-round. And that Christmas present has gone towards keeping it on the road and in good condition.
Yeah, okay. Better than buying chocolates that have gone in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, certainly when you're around. Anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to buy parts for your friends or loved ones or yourself, there's plenty of other stuff you can get.
So we've had a look around, haven't we, at the things that we would buy.
Yeah, and the things we would like to receive.
Oh, this is a bit of a hint.
It might be, yeah.
It's a hint to anyone that's listening.
One thing that I've wanted for years, and you know when someone asks you what you want for Christmas and your mind instantly goes blank?
Every year, yeah.
Nick Dimbleby's Campbell Trophy book. That's what I want for Christmas.
Okay, is that a hint?
Yeah. Not a very subtle one.
No, not really.
But
no, that is a fantastic...
There was actually a feature in LRM when this book first came about. It's an absolutely stunning thing. Nick Dimbleby obviously was a photographer on some of the Camel Trophy events, and the stories and the images that he's captured over the time with that event are absolutely amazing. And the book is a thing of beauty. I've seen one in person, but I haven't actually got one. You can get them a variety of bookshops, a lot of different prices, you know, best to shop around, but... there's also a collector's edition, which offers you a little bit more. But yeah, I want that in my life.
Yeah, it's one of those books that you'd leave on your coffee table, isn't it? And kind of just look at it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a real thing of beauty.
So I have a book very similar in terms of quality, and it's called Icon. Have you seen that book?
No, I don't think I have.
That book, I remember it when it first came out. It was about £50 for a book.
Right.
But it's, I think some of Nick Dimbleby's pictures are in there as well, actually.
Probably.
So it's the finest, it basically turns Land Rovers into art. And it writes about the sort of history of Land Rover, but in a kind of, from an artistic perspective.
Oh, cool.
That's a really, really nice book. And actually, one that you'd leave on your coffee table, a bit like Nick's book.
Absolutely. Going down that sort of road, Toby Savage has done a book recently. I think it only went on sale earlier this year. I've got a copy of that and I really do enjoy dipping in and out of it. Again, it's a perfect coffee table book. That's really, really good reading. Larking About in Land Rovers, that's called. Available on Amazon, $24.99. If you fancy checking that out, really good read. Lots of fun anecdotes and great pictures in there as well. There's lots to choose from.
Yeah, people it's really a year where Land Rover books, because Land Rover books are coming out every year, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And I do wonder how many of them, not to speak out of turn, contain this, exactly the same stuff as previous ones, but packaged differently.
Well, because the history is the history.
You can't
rewrite history.
But more facts about certain things become uncovered as the years go by. Like, for instance, Gary's pieces on Project J and the discoveries, all that's new information. That's not in a book yet, because obviously we snagged it for Land Rover Monthly, and we're very thankful to Gary for that. But I think ones that have come out recently are Ian Garner's Ultimate Enthusiast Guide. I've had a flick through that. That looks really good. Obviously, you've got First and Last Overland. And
of course, there's a few years between those two books.
Another thing to not overlook is the genuine, if you can find them, parts manuals and workshop manuals.
Now, I have two of those. I have the workshop manual for an early 110, and I have the parts manual. They are a godsend. They're expensive.
Yeah.
But they really are expensive books. But you're paying for the knowledge and you're paying for the information, aren't you?
Some of them can take a bit of tracking down as well.
Yeah.
I've got a Series 3 parts book on loan at the moment, and I use that all the time, because once you've got a part number, you can then shop off the back of that, and it's so much easier than trying to like Google truck cab top.
Used it for part numbers. Absolutely brilliant. So that should be on the top of anyone's, because you can buy them for the model.
Yeah, model specific.
Model specific, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So I've got the early 110 book from when I used to have a 110. So yeah. The parts are the same for the early 90s.
So they change a lot.
Like the bulkhead parts and things like that, easy.
Off the back of that, even, Haynes manuals. If you've got someone who's just got into Land Rovers or just bought their first Land Rover, there's Haynes manuals everywhere still, even though I don't believe they print them anymore.
No, they don't, but they do. I think you can still get certain ones on Amazon when I last looked.
Yeah, I'm sure you can still buy them in shops as well, but they're a great introduction. Obviously, from a technical standpoint, why wouldn't you go on Exact Editions and sign up to Land Rover Monthly? Because you get all that back tech content and everything else back to 2015. But
there's your perfect gift for there. Magazine subscription to Land Rover Monthly.
Absolutely. Don't overlook that.
Why don't you have that?
Quite. Hopefully, most of the people listening have already got it.
Yeah.
So they're not missing out.
Why not?
Yeah, I quite agree.
Tell you a book I really enjoyed. Do you remember one of the editors that we had, Dave Phillips?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did a book called The Land Rover Story.
Okay.
And that is sort of digging into the history of Land Rover, but in a kind of really quirky, funny way. It's quite a humorous book to read.
Right.
So you should have a read of that.
I will. Yeah, please. I'd like to.
You could spend every day of your life reading Land Rover books, couldn't you? Because there's so many. There are so many books.
Definitely. But, one thing we're going to concentrate on going forward in the magazine is in doing various product reviews, and books will obviously be included in that. So keep an eye on the pages and see if there's anything you fancy. Because, like you said, there's loads to choose from, but they are all different. So, yeah. Moving on, though. So books, you know, they're out there. You find them, you can track them down. But one thing I get really excited about is like models, Land Rover models and things like that.
Yeah, I must admit.
So I've never, ever been disappointed with any Land Rover model I've received in my life.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I didn't buy it.
No, you didn't.
Go on then.
No, I had a Series 1 with a clock in the side of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a...
I think I know what you mean.
Looks really...
quite badly finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good, accurate die-cast models, obviously. We did the unboxing video of Oxford Die-Cast Mystery Box on YouTube. That's well worth it.
Models.
They're, you know, various different scales, but all really nicely detailed.
Yeah. So I like the... I'll tell you where I've been looking, right, is... and I can't find any. You know, sometimes you go to these, like, you go to supermarkets, whatever, and they've got the Hot Wheels and the Matchbox. I've been sifting through them all of a sudden. I used to do it with my lad, who's now 18, incidentally, but I used to do it years ago. And finding interesting things. But trying to find Land Rovers, I've been looking, but can't find any.
So I'm a bit of a devil for this. I am always keen to go and rifle through the boxes. You need to be quite specific what shops you go to. This is a top tip for anyone who likes to collect die-cast Land Rover models, because things like when we were in Sainsbury's earlier,
I had a look, there's none.
No, you need to go Aldi,
okay.
B&M, big toy shops like the Entertainer, I think it's called. There's like a big, almost like Toys R Us used to be. Yeah. They generally get different like selection boxes of Hot Wheels and Matchbox to a lot of the other big chains. So join the groups on Facebook, and people are pretty hot on it, hotter than I am. But and when you find them, yeah, you soon get to know which shops get the Land Rover models in.
Oh, right.
It's funny how it works. I don't really know how they
calculate. I've never looked into it in great detail. I've just kind of like looked and thought.
Yeah. When the
I've only just taken to looking through them.
One thing you've got to come to peace with is when you're looking for a box of Hot Wheels as an adult, you do get some funny looks. But it is what it is. No one really cares that much.
They don't know that you're not getting them for your nephew or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Series 2A, the cool and vintage looking one, you know, with the folded flat windscreen.
Nice.
They were all, well, mostly in Aldi in the UK on the checkout. You have like the Hot Wheels box, and then they rip the lid off when they put it on display. That had like three or four of the same cool and vintage in each box. And there's obviously a box on each checkout.
They're actually cool and vintage.
They're based off it. Yeah, I think they have cool and vintage branding on the side. Yeah, and then they did that one in four different colours. So the green came out first, and there's also a blue one, a grey one, and a red one.
It'd be so cool to have a Land Rover monthly one, wouldn't it?
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like put them out there in all the supermarkets.
Yeah. Well, I sort of pick them up. When I see them, I try and snaffle a couple away. I don't buy all of them because then no one else has got a chance of getting them. But I snap them up, and then I think, oh, we'll do them as like prizes at LRM Live next year. Like, if kids do the treasure hunt or whatever, then we can give away some little models.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I've got quite the box building up. It's quite good.
Well, I've just come around your house then.
Yeah, you could do. I'll send you a few at a very, very reasonable markup.
Well, it says retooled in the shops.
Well, the only place you can get, if you can't be bothered to go and look through loads of boxes, people sell them on eBay all the time. Literally go and buy them from the shops and then upsell them on eBay.
Ah, okay. So have a look.
Yeah, do it. So there's your Hot Wheels and your Matchbox covered, but if you want something
they're
bigger,
like stocking fillers though, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And the number of people who are into them is like astounding. They have a real following. People go crazy for diecast stuff. Yeah, I won't linger on this subject too much because I can bang on about them for until the cows come home. But radio control Land Rovers, if you've ever had a go with one or built one or, you know, been around them, you know how cool they are. Imagine getting one of them for Christmas.
I would love one.
You wouldn't see your family for the rest of the time until you went back to work, would you?
I actually do really want to build one now.
I think
since we've talked about it on the previous podcast, I've looked. I've joined a couple of Facebook groups. You know, you get recommended Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And there's one guy, he's not in the UK, but he's built an absolute stunning 90. And in the back is all his camping gear. And it's all, I don't know how they go to that level of detail.
Oh, like real scale accessories.
Yeah, scale accessories in the back.
Yeah.
It's all like ropes, all tight. How on earth do you go around building something like that?
The model itself is just the start. Like you've said, you can get scale high lift jacks, scale winches. You can get worn branded winches, you can get, like you say, toe straps, wheel chocks, loads of stuff. Like, you can go mad on it if you want to.
Well, you know, our man behind
Boom Racer, yeah.
who advertised recently in a magazine and running the, I think the competition might have closed by the time you've
heard this,
but there's a competition to win one. He's had a 3D scanned version of himself.
Yeah,
like how cool is that?
That's mad. A scaled down driver of yourself. But
can imagine doing one of you.
Yeah.
That'd be like amazing. I was going to say to you about how big your scanner would need to be.
You're within punching distance. So yeah. But no, but it's important to stress as well that boom racing stuff and like RC four wheel drive, they're really at the top end of the market. But as we saw earlier, when you were unsuccessfully looking for Hot Wheels in Sainsbury's, you can also get, like, if you've got kids in your life that you want to get into Land Rovers, like a little radio controlled Land Rover, like toy grade, is the perfect way to do it.
Well, we saw one, didn't we? It was like £14.
Yeah, Range Rover Sport, wasn't it?
Range Rover Sport, yeah.
Yeah, there's still plenty of detail and plenty of fun to be had. They've come a long way in the last like 15, 20 years. There's not like a cable that links the car to the remote anymore. They're all like...
Yeah, I remember those days. So annoying when you wrapped it around the car.
Yeah.
Or run over your own cable. Oh, they're all
pretty decent
childhood memories coming back now.
They're flooding back. But yeah, and also we were saying earlier about like Toylanders and things like that. If you've got a bit of time on your hands...
Yeah, for Christmas next year. So you've got an entire year.
Yeah. you can still get on the Toyland hype, because if you've seen Mini Rovers who come to our 2-day event at Malvern, they have a fleet, don't they? And you can go and drive them around.
Yeah, but the Toyland is a slightly different model to that, isn't it?
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Toylander is, I suppose it's different between one brand and another, but Toylander is the exact replica, isn't it, of a Series 2A.
Yeah, there's a few, isn't there?
Things like that. But they can cost a fair bit of money to put together.
Because Toylander used to sell the plans. You could buy the plans to build your own. I think they still do.
I think you still can, yeah.
But they used to also offer built ones, and they were like serious money.
I think it's with them, you can buy the plans, you can buy finished body kits, or you can go and cut your own from ply.
Yeah.
You can buy a motor from them, or you can salvage, a bit like a kit car, really.
Yeah.
You just go and buy as much from them as you want, or you can salvage it from other things, like mobility scooter type motors and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
and you can go, much like the radio control stuff, you can go as basic or as detailed as you want with it all, can't you?
Yeah. That but getting the models and the Toylanders is basically securing the future of classic Land Rovers, isn't it, really? Getting your kids into it?
I reckon so, yeah.
Or grandchildren?
It's sowing that seed young, isn't it?
Yeah.
And getting them involved in something that moves, for a start, has moving parts and is a bit mechanical.
Like you said, the radio control thing, you learned a lot about the mechanics.
So much.
From that. Yeah. Before actually becoming a real mechanic.
Because it's the same stuff, just scaled down. Mm. The same principles of each system are so similar. I would 100% recommend radio control, or like, say, Toylander. You can get the ride-on stuff for much younger children as well, can't you? Like the ABS body defenders with the
spoons. Oh, yes, yeah. They're fairly entry point, aren't they?
Quite cheap as well when you compare them to like a really detailed one, I think about £60, I think you can get them for.
Yeah.
But
get them from main dealers, can't you?
They used to be able to, yeah. I think they sell them in most toy shops and places like that, or you can order a Britpart actually retail them, so you can buy them through.
Yeah, look out for Britpart.
Britpart retailers, you can get them through there. Yeah, they seem pretty good. We gave one away once at the Peterborough show years ago, and loads of interest in it because they are like chunky and you can bash them about and kids love them. And I can see lots of children enjoying one of those at Christmas time. So what else is there? What else could you buy someone in your family or a mate who you know loves Land Rovers?
Beanie hats.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Practical things.
Definitely. Well, I've got my own beanie hat with my own Land Rover on it from Stitch and Rivet.
Your own Land Rover?
Yeah. You can have your Land Rover replicated on a hat.
Well, I want that.
Well, I got it for, last year I got that.
Not yours, that was over on my hat.
Oh, you should have my Land Rover on your hat. Yours would just be a bare chassis.
Another dig.
Stitch and Rivet, they do all sorts of custom embroidery on hats and what else do they do? T-shirts, I think they do.
Loads of stuff.
Hoodies. Retro 80. They've got some cool designs.
I've got some Retro 80 T-shirts.
I've been meaning to buy some for ages. There's another little hint for you there if you want to.
Sounds like I'm spending some money on you then.
Some Retro 80 gear would be really cool. They've moved over to an Etsy store, but they've got some really, really smart, like quite vintagey designs.
I'll tell you who else has. So it's Retro 80, and then a big supporter of our shows is 1948 Original Equipment.
Yes.
So he has some great gifts for Christmas. He has good gifts for all year round, but all the expedition gear, the T-shirts for all ages, some of the vintage style stuff.
Yeah, like canvas expedition bag.
Yeah.
Hats and tools and things like that as well.
Yeah, all sorts of hunting knives and loads of stuff. Great stuff.
Definitely. In fact, if you go to most Land Rover events, there's at least like one or two stands selling pretty cool gear, like apparel and accessories and stuff like that.
Obviously, the best time to buy Christmas gifts isn't now, is it?
No.
With a week to go, they should have been buying them back in February, right?
Yeah. We'll call this one the hindsight episode. So these are all the things you should have bought before it was a week.
Because you've got a week to go. That's if you're listening to this on the day it comes out.
Yeah.
Rather than the day before.
Yeah, absolutely. You've probably left it a bit late, but it's never too late because you can buy all this stuff for next Christmas. See?
Yeah.
Thinking ahead.
And I'll get you a book for next Christmas.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, that camel trophy one, please. Thanks. So, Oh, another good one. Honourable mention here. Cars and Crayons are doing a really cool genuine parts style t-shirt with all like the lettering on it. It's I've got genuine parts, and it's all like old school retro graphics with their logo. Oh,
nice.
So check them out.
They had a product for the week, didn't they?
The oil filter mug.
Yeah.
They're doing some really cool stuff. So check them out. And also JLR Classic, just to get another little mention in for them, because I love going there. They sell Jaguar and Land Rover gear, if you like, genuine licensed shirts and jackets and watches and all sorts of. Don't go with no money in your pocket, because it is dear, but really cool stuff.
I when we went there for the open day, that we went with who did we go with?
Revs Restore.
Yeah, they had a thing, didn't they? And I had a look at the merchandise, some of the Jaguar stuff. I picked up this pen. In fact, my wife picked up the pen, and it was a really weighty, beautiful Jaguar pen. £35.
Really?
I wanted.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you'd keep that pen for a long time, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Just there you go. That's a Christmas gift for me, then.
A Jaguar pen?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because you know when you open and shut the pen, the click was just reassuring quality.
Was it like when you push a door shut and it just click, like latches beautifully?
Like on your Series 3 rebuild?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, sweet. Just like a golf, as the advert used to say.
Yeah.
If, of course, you're unsure and you're still, even all through these fantastic ideas we've given you, you still don't know what to get someone in your life who likes Land Rovers, or maybe you just want an easy option, why not get them a gift voucher?
Great, cool.
Paddock Spares do gift vouchers. They sell pretty much everything you could ever need for any Land Rover. Or JLR Experience. You could get a Land Rover Experience gift voucher for someone so they can go and have a go at something new.
I've just thought of the ultimate Christmas gift.
Really?
The ultimate Land Rover Christmas gift. People are all about experiences now.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
Tickets or camping passes to the LRM live event. 17th, 18th of May, 2025.
That's a fantastic idea, Steve. Well done.
How nice is that? Because then you're always going to remember that that person bought you that gift.
And it's something to look forward to. Because let's be honest, January is a bit of a long month, isn't it? It's a bit grey.
And you know that in May, in the glorious Malvern Hills, you're going to wake up and someone's bought you that gift.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Check out the Land Rover Monthly website for tickets to our upcoming events. We've got events in pretty much nearly every month. Feels like it anyway.
I'll get you tickets for that then for Christmas.
Thanks, I might turn up.
There you go. Well, if we haven't given you enough ideas for Christmas presents, or and maybe you're listening to this after Christmas and you can jump on it for next year, then there's no helping you really. I think we've probably done all we can. Don't you?
Yeah.
I think we've...
A bunch of me to go and buy some Christmas gifts now.
Good. I mean, like I say, I've still got a bit to do, but I'm not as behind as some people.
See, we were talking earlier, weren't we, when we were eating lunch, about Christmas dinners, right?
Ah.
So you've offended me, right?
Yeah.
You have offended me in the fact that you were talking about how your perfect roast potatoes the other day, and you had roast beef, didn't you?
Yeah, on Sunday.
And then I said, did you have Yorkshire pudding? And you said yes.
Yeah, I did.
And you said, and then I asked the question, did you make your own Yorkshire pudding? And you said no.
I didn't. Sorry.
That offends me. It ruins your entire dinner.
Oh.
Who doesn't make their own Yorkshire pudding?
Well, I don't, because by the time you've done everything else, you've done the meat, you've done the potatoes, you've done all the veg, you've done... I like stuffing, so I have stuffing even with beef, because I'm a bit weird like that.
No, that's all right.
All the other accessories. The last thing you want to do is make flipping batter to make Yorkshire pudding. So you just buy them fresh and bang them in the oven for 5 minutes and jobs are good.
They're not fresh, they're frozen, aren't they?
No, the fresh ones are fresh. Not like the ones in the blue packet that you get and you put them in the oven and they come out
with no names, but
still like
she's an auntie of somebody.
Yeah.
That's what Yorkshire pudding's up today. Thanks. Oh, blow it. Hey, there goes the Aunt Bessie sponsorship deal.
The Uncle Bert's Yorkshire. No, they are like hockey pucks.
Yeah.
The nice fresh ones.
Could get a, it's just awful. Mate, you need to get on to it. Make your batter first, right?
Oh God, I can't.
Put it to one side, and then crack on and do all the other bits and pieces. Don't ruin your dinner by buying ready-made Yorkshire puddings. There's my top tip.
Thanks for that, Steve.
Yeah.
Right, let's have. If you make your own Yorkshire puddings, get in touch. Editorial at lrm.co.uk. We'd love to hear from you on this cooking-based podcast, and put. I've had so much, honestly, I wish we'd never opened the can of worms about meal deals, because it's the, I can't believe how much correspondence we've had on it. It's scary, really, how many people feel so strongly as they do about such a subject. Tom Bayford's one of those people who messaged about something totally unrelated and then said, also, what's wrong with these crisp-eating first folk? They're complete wrong-uns. And I said it should be a chargeable offence. And then he said it's the kind of behaviour Jeep owners would get up to. And I agree with him. I'm completely with you, Tom. Steve needs serious therapy. However, we're going to put that to bed now.
Yeah, but it's better than the question I got asked.
Yeah, to be fair.
I got asked a question. When you get out of the shower, right?
Or when you get dressed in the morning.
When you get dressed in the morning or get out of the shower, do you put your pants on before your socks? We're not answering that one.
No, we're going to leave that. No, we're just going to park that straight away. Can we go into product of the week now?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, absolutely. Go.
Please.
Yeah, go on then.
So this product of the week is actually also an ideal Christmas present.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Fire away.
And one that I feel that we should have probably mentioned already, it is the 2025 Dunsfold calendar.
Oh, nice.
What a great way to start the new year than with 12 fantastic pictures of Land Rovers in this calendar. It's only £12.95 as well, when you can buy it from dunsfoldcollection.co.uk. Superb photos of some of the unique Land Rovers in the Dunsfold collection. Plenty of space for writing notes and to organise your hectic social life, which of course is I won't ruin the surprise. Reminders for when your services and MOTs are due. Practical and stylish.
No doubt. Some of the profits will go towards keeping the Dunsfold collection fresh.
Keep going. Yeah, absolutely. And for £12.95, that's like cheap. What a bargain. You can't buy a calendar.
Just over £1 a month. Cheap.
That's very cheap. Yeah, absolutely. So that's from the new product section in the current issue of Land Rover Monthly, which if you haven't bought yet already, what are you doing? Was that a bit too forceful?
No, it's not forceful.
Okay, good. Now we're going to go into...
Feature of the Week.
Let's have Feature of the Week as well.
Feature of the Week. No, we didn't do the Product of the Week jingle.
I know. Well, I was too enraged by the Yorkshire pudding conversation. Anyway,
if you're going to ruin the dinner.
I found a Yorkshire pudding under the seat of a car that I bought once. I bought that Discovery...
I bought a couple of puddings, but...
The Discovery 3 I bought a few years ago off a neighbour...
Yeah,
it was in grim condition. I lifted up the back seat and there was half a Yorkshire pudding under there. I've no idea how it got there. I'm going to assume that a child was eating the Yorkshire pudding and then discarded it under, and it was like fossilised. It was like rock hard. You could have knocked someone out with it.
You've moved, haven't you? So you haven't got the same neighbours, but you needed better neighbours.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good car though when it was cleaned up. It was just getting it to that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've found some random stuff in cars before, but Yorkshire pudding's right up there. Anyway... We digress. The feature of the week is actually the cover star of this month's Land Rover Monthly, and it is
very nice.
The very, very nice Merlin Purple Defender 110 that belongs to Carly at YRM Metal Solutions. This thing is an absolute beauty. But it wasn't always that way, as you will find out when you read the feature. Obviously, YRM are known for their repair pieces and panels and parts for series and defenders.
And building cars with longevity, really.
Exactly. So if there's anyone that knows how to make a Defender last as long as possible, it's them. If you've ever seen their vehicles at shows, you've no doubt had a little look around underneath, maybe in the wheel arches and stuff like that, and it looks very different to a Defender that's just rolled out of the factory at Solihull, and that's because they've actually put care into it.
That's a bit harsh. Yeah, well, and it's not rotten.
Look at a Defender, like one of the last TDCIs. It's on the road for like 5 years and the rear crossmember's brown.
There's a lot of brown crossmembers going around.
It's like they were being a bit stingy with the paint. But anyway, they've done a stunning job on this thing. It looks absolutely brilliant. And obviously, as I was at YRM with Alistair photographing it, I got chatting to them and they sort of shared some insider information on the methods and the techniques they use to make their Land Rovers last as long as possible. So we've obviously passed that information on to the readers.
In the feature?
Yes.
Nice.
Got 5 top tips. So be sure to grab that. It's on the cover. It looks brilliant. It's finished. It's like I said, it's an Audi paint. It's called Merlin Purple.
Oh, it's an Audi colour, is it?
Yeah.
Fantastic colour, I must admit.
If you'd have told me, without having seen this already, that you were going to put that colour on that vehicle, I'd have said, I don't know about that. But in person, especially with the interior and the wheels they've done as well, it looks bang on. It is beautiful.
Nice.
So, yeah, be sure to grab a copy of the January issue, which is on sale at the moment. And, enjoy.
Oh, got some readers. Readers? Listeners?
See, you did me then.
Oh, did you?
I hope not.
So, our friend Adam Wormleighton's been in touch again.
Oh, yes.
We mentioned with chat. I think this is the second time he's mentioned.
Yeah, he got back to us. He emailed before and we read it out. And he's...
So we've mentioned in a previous podcast, what's your perfect vehicles in your own collection, isn't it?
3 Land Rover.
So 3 garage. Land Rovers. So, hello chaps. Not sure this is the perfect trio, but these are mine. Daily driver is a 2016 Discovery 4 HSE.
Yeah.
Does absolutely everything brilliantly, especially shooting and off-roading. Wonder what it shoots.
As long as it's not rods out of the side of a block, we're all rubbing.
Hasn't happened to Adams yet.
Oh, don't you just sit it now.
But anyway, fantastic. Yeah, I agree. It's a lovely daily driver.
Yeah.
A Green Laner, 110 Wolf, fitted for radio, hardtop. All the gubbins stripped out.
Right.
300 TDI with power steering. Very comfy.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I don't know if you probably have to put slightly lighter springs on it because those military
bikes, when they're totally loaded, they sit
really high at the back. And I think they've got helper springs as well. So it'd be like pretty jittery over bumps. But
no, I've seen Adam's 110 Wolf at a show before.
Right.
And it's immaculate.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out.
In a different league. Yeah. Project vehicle, 1982 Series 3, 88 with a 2.25 petrol. Oscar, as seen on Instagram, Sunday drives and high days.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to check him out on Instagram, probably best to search his name. He hasn't got his edit.
I believe his Instagram is at AdamTWRM. I think that's what it is.
We'll check that out in a second. Regarding Steve's next purchase.
Oh, yeah, because like you need any more.
Yeah. It's obvious. He needs to buy my Wolf 110 to go with his Penman trailer and make it look right rather than towing it with a namby-pamby Civilian 90.
Well.
Harsh, Adam, but true.
That was a low blow, but yeah.
If I was to swap my 90,
yeah.
I have to say, and I've said this before, I think it'd have to be a 110 County Station Wagon.
Yeah, I get that.
Just purely from practicality point of view. Sometimes I want to travel with more than 2 people in the car.
Sure.
And I still want to tow my trailer.
So, yeah. The last Defender I had was a 200 TDI 110 County Station Wagon. And I didn't realise how nice it was at the time. Like, it was a really nice original thing. And they are just so useful because you've got 5 decent usable seats and then you've also got all that space in the back.
Yeah.
Adam's Instagram is at AdamTWRM. So if you want to check him out,
he puts
some really good stuff up, actually, and his some of his videos are hilarious and informative. So check him out. He's a cool dude and a thoroughly nice chap. Have you got another listener's question then, Steve? Come on, let's have him.
So I have not read this one because it came to your inbox.
Oh,
so,
well, okay.
Hi, guys.
It's going to go either way.
Just discovered the pod.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
Listen to the latest episode and you had a message off of Kieran looking for a Freelander 1.
Ah, yes.
Okay. I have, or now my dad has, a 2002 Freelander 1 GS with either just below or just over 50,000 miles on the clock.
Oh, barely running.
That's low, isn't it?
Yeah.
They go on forever, don't they, TD4s?
Yeah.
I inherited the car along with an 88-inch Series 2A and a heavy case of Land Rover-itis back in 2012 from my grandfather. I ran the Freelander until 2020. It needed a few repairs and I couldn't really afford it at the time. It turned out I got a new job along with a company car. So my dad paid to get the repairs done and I gave him the car. It's been parked up ever since.
Oh, okay.
Shame, man.
Yeah.
Was advertised for sale for a short period, but with little interest, so had to be parked on the yard and forgotten about. It's a low mileage car. All the bits are still on it, including the prop shaft.
Useful. Good stuff.
Not sure on the colour name. I know Kieran was after Kent Green. This one is dark green.
Okay.
If you want, you can pass on my email to Kieran and I can send him some photos if he's interested.
Well, I will, I'll start by saying I'm not sure if there's been a bit of wire crossage there, but Kieran's actually got a Freelander and he was wondering how many was left of the colour he's got. But that's still very cool. 50,000 miles, as you say, is absolutely nothing for a TD4. I'm quite surprised it didn't sell the first time round, actually.
So if anyone's interested in buying that, because it is a low mileage car, email us and we can put you in touch.
Yeah, we'll make that connection if you think you're in the
market. And 10% commission to the LRM pod.
Yeah.
10% is cheap, man.
It is cheap.
It is.
Yeah. That's cool.
He's still got a Sierra Touareg waiting for some TLC in a shed when the kids are old enough to wipe their own arses.
Delightful.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I have the time to get stuck in.
The level of honesty we can expect from our listeners.
Upgraded to a 110 TDCi utility wagon about a year ago and absolutely loved the thing. My dad ran classic Range Rovers throughout my childhood in the 90s. They all got nicked.
Oh, that's a shame.
So if anyone out there has got Sam's dad's Range Rover Classic,
give it back.
Yeah. He saw sense and now runs a Jack pickup.
R.I.P. Sorry to hear that.
Anyway, I'm enjoying going through the back catalogue of the pod. Keep them coming. So, yeah, thanks, Sam, for your email.
Cheers, Sam. Will do. We'll keep plugging away. We'll keep sitting down for an hour of nonsense every week. It's all good fun.
Yes, we love it. It gets out of proper work.
I know Kieran will probably listen to this podcast, so sorry, Kieran. I haven't got any further in finding out how you find out how many are left of your particular spec and model. But if anyone, like Steve said, if anyone's in the market for a low-mileage diesel one, give us a shout and we'll put you in touch.
That is low, isn't it? 50,000.
That's nothing. That's done nothing.
No.
But, yeah, do you know what, funnily enough, about the comment about his kids? You know, we have to authorise all the marketplace listings that come up on the Land Rover Monthly website.
We do. And the reason why we do that is so we can keep control on anything that looks a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, because there's scans everywhere now.
Yeah, so if anything looks too good to be true, we often check them out before we list them.
It reminded me, though, of a Defender. This was a good few months ago now. Someone had submitted it. It was a really nice Defender 110. They'd done like the listing and engine and all the specs and things like that. And then the last line, which really made me laugh, was I was going to leave this to my kids, but frankly, they don't deserve it. And I left it in.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
They probably don't deserve it.
Brilliant. Fair play to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, there's been some really, really good stuff on LRM Marketplace recently.
I'll tell you what, there's one I listed yesterday, TD5, Discovery 2, same owner for the last 16 years.
Pursuit, wasn't it?
A Pursuit
model. Pursuit edition, yeah.
And 89,000 miles.
Low.
That is low mileage.
For one of them, because they're so useful, they tend to get used and used and used, and then they've done like 150k plus.
So there's an 04 plate.
Yeah. It was 4.8, wasn't it?
4.8, 4.9?
Yeah.
1,900.
Either way, it's a serious...
No, 4,800. I'm sure 89,000 miles. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grand, I thought that was really good value.
As long as it's not, you know, rotten, you'd have to go and have a look around it. But that was fantastic money for a sub 100,000 mile Discovery too.
And even if it needed a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that one as well the other day, wasn't there, with a galvanised chassis up in Cumbria.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember? Yeah.
That's right.
It obviously had a bit of a life. It had like a few scratches and bumpers needed a bit of love and things like that, but on a galv chassis.
Because the people who own that contacted me because they needed to know how to list it.
Yeah.
And they're in their 80s, giving up driving.
Oh, is that what?
So they've had it for since new.
Wow.
They've owned it since new.
Crime.
And obviously kept on top of it. But that's the beauty of the LRM classifieds. If you are in the market, or even if you're not in the market for a Land Rover, check out the LRM classifieds because there's absolute beauties on there.
And not,
we have to avoid it.
We have to be very careful because there are some real gems that get put up and we're like, oh, hang on, we could have a deal on this. But we do behave ourselves.
No, well, I haven't bought one for a long, long time.
No,
3 years.
Been quite good as well. But, interesting development. I think I've sort of got my wife on board for buying another Freelander too for her.
Oh, interesting.
Because she starts a new job soon and she's going to be doing a lot of driving around where we live and the roads are awful.
The roads around where you live are bad.
Yeah, it's like...
They're like Fen roads, aren't they? They're just broken.
Essentially driving on the moon. But her current car, which is a Seat Leon, is going to get absolutely ruined in no time at all. So we're going to get her probably a Freelander 2. She wants a nice spec one, but I'm going to try and get her like a ED4, or TD4E, so the front-wheel drive one.
Why would you do that?
Cheaper to tax. She never goes off-road. If we ever want to go off-road, we've got mine. And, they're a bit better on diesel and slightly cheaper to tax.
Oh, okay.
But you can still get them in a nice spec. So she wants like SE or HSE, ideally.
Yeah, very nice.
So what continues to baffle me is her Leon is a 2016 FR Tech. So it's like a nice car. It's a car, but
yeah,
it's a nice...
Yeah, I've seen it, I see. Yeah.
But she prefers driving my Freelander 2 because it's got heated windscreen, heated seats, better stereo, even though it still works original sound system in it. It's got Alpine sound system. How on earth is a car that's nearly 20 years old preferable to a 2016 like modern car? And more, do you know what I mean?
It's I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So I'm quite excited to get her in a Freelander 2 because I think they're brilliant. And
they are good cars.
I know them inside out. So
I'm just gutted that I had a bad experience with mine.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't. But I've driven others that are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and they just drive nicer. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's odd. But like you say, because yours was automatic and you thought the gearbox wasn't quite right, and that's just going to ruin the experience of driving it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Spent a lot of money trying to solve it. It just didn't seem to...
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Change nicely or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, you're Freelander 2, every time I go in, I think this is just great value for money.
Apart from the loud turbo. I'd get that in there.
Yeah, for your turbo, didn't you say? So it's making a few noises on...
Mm. Well, I said a while ago, I thought I heard it. I was driving through a built-up area with the window down, and I thought I heard it making untoward noises. And now, whenever I switch the engine off, you can hear it spool down, so the bearing is definitely not having a good time.
Mm.
So that's probably going to... Possibly even, coming soon to the tech section of Land Rover Monthly, once I've bought a turbo, I might as well do a fitting guide on it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you might as well.
I've got that to look forward to in the new year. Hopefully it lasts past Christmas. Anyway, it's only a week.
Yeah, it's actually, in real terms, it's a bit longer than a week because we're not recording this on a week.
No, that's true. You're listening a little bit longer because otherwise we'd have to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and then do the podcast, and then I would have to edit it and then have to put it up because we upload every morning at every 6 o'clock on every Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm not up for getting up that early. I don't know about you.
No.
No. So, what else you got then? Have we got any more listeners' questions or is that it?
We have, but we'll save them for next time.
Okay, that's fair.
Next time, you know when our podcast goes out?
Christmas Day. A special LRM Christmas.
So make sure that you tune in next week for the LRM Christmas special.
Yeah, and you have to listen to it on Christmas Day. Just say to your family, look, I've got important business to take care of. I need to go and sit in the car or sit upstairs or sit wherever and listen to the LRM Christmas special.
Well, if you've got like the in-laws around and you don't like them, imagine that, right?
It's the perfect...
The perfect excuse.
You say you've got something really important that can't be put off and you can come and listen to us waffle on for an hour.
Imagine our voices being in people's heads on Christmas Day. Never thought I was here today that happened.
We might even sing a Christmas carol.
Really?
Probably not, no.
Well, I'm not going to sing.
All right, fine. You need to sing, start doing the new product jingle. Anyway... We're rabbiting. Thanks again for listening. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to leave us a rating. Leave us a little review, if you don't mind, on your preferred streaming platform.
We had a review, didn't we, the other day? Wasn't so keen on that one.
Oh, on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously our podcasts get uploaded to YouTube as well as everyone's preferred streaming platform. We had one. What was it? The last? No, it was the Project Triangle one, I think. No, it wasn't. It was the one before that. Oh, no. I'm getting all confused. Anyway, someone said it was a load of old twaddle or something. And to be fair, they're not wrong. But
we 100% agree.
But at least someone's listening.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, thank you. And we know it's a bit twaddly and a bit waffly and a bit whatever. But what are you going to do about it?
Do you know what?
What?
I know what you can do about it.
What's that?
Just don't listen next time.
Actually, we don't mind. We like a bit of feedback, whether it's good or bad.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. Because we don't know whether... And we do get some positive feedback because a lot of these listeners' questions that come in say, loving the pod and podcast and keep it up and things like that. We're just here because we enjoy doing it.
In fact, your friend and mine, Jack Watson, Boris the Defender, put on his Instagram story just yesterday. He was listening in the garage while he was doing some jobs.
Yes, he did, yeah.
So, yeah. We're not professional podcasters. We're not professional hosts.
Who is?
We're just like Land Rovers.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't like Land Rovers. Yes. And I'm still here.
More often than not, we do. But yeah.
Yeah, the right side. We're the right side of the wire.
Talking of YouTube, don't forget to check out the LRM YouTube channel. We've just put up the second installment of Rechassing My Series 3, which has already sparked controversy in the comments about, because like you said, I should have pressure washed the axles and I didn't.
I told you that immediately. So are you not cleaning them off if we put them on?
The backlash is unreal. I'm going to have to issue a public apology, I think. But yeah, check that out. And also buy the magazine and also sign up to the newsletter. And now we're going to stop shoving stuff down people's throats. Thanks very much for listening. See you next week.
Bye for now.